Almost Relevant, Episode 3. This Christmas episode is dedicated to my father, Mike Collier, who recently passed away. He loved Christmas and always went overboard on the decorations. It won't be the same without him.
Hello and welcome to the Almost Relevant podcast, where we delve into a rabbit hole, no matter how deep. Podcast for everything nerdy and geeky. I'm Elliot Lee.
And I'm Jeremy Collier. Today's episode, as you've probably already guessed, it's Christmas time.
Yay!
So we're going to start with the basic. What is Christmas? And not only what is Christmas in a big sense, but also what does Christmas mean to us? So let's just start with what is Christmas. Christmas is the time of year that friends and family get together and spend lots of money on each other and presents.
Well, if you want to go deeper than that, then technically it's Jesus' birthday. Although I have heard, I don't have the source for this, so I apologize for that. It was calculated his birthday was actually in September.
He was born during the end of summer. Uh-huh. So what happened, and actually I have done the research. I don't have resources or
sources
on this, but I do know that most people believe that Jesus was born in the end of summer, and that the holiday that we currently know as Christmas was actually a combination of different holidays. One was, I'm blanking on the name of it, but it was a pagan holiday that was actually in December or in the winter, and Jesus' birthday was kind of combined, and
so Christmas it is what was it is kind today. Of conformed.
Yeah, so I mean, you have your traditions like giving presents, being with family, family dinners, present, or I just said presents. You can see what I'm thinking of. No,
yay, presents.
I meant to say Santa Claus, but you also have that other side of Jesus. And it really makes sense if you think about it. If you think about other religious holidays, it's all about the religion. Mm-hmm. And non-religious holidays are about not about religion. So taking that, that's why we have that duality with Christmas of it's Jesus' birthday, but it's also about Santa Claus.
You know, not to delve into another rabbit hole like this soon.
This soon, 2 minutes in.
Yeah. I have heard, I don't remember, again, I apologize, I don't have the source for this, but apparently the Santa Claus that we know today, the jolly fat man in the red and white suit, is actually a creation of Coca-Cola.
I believe that. I know
because it does have their colors.
Yeah. Red and white. If you ever watched the... what was it called? There's a Christmas special. It's like the Santa Claus. Is it the Santa Claus? Anyway, there's a Christmas special. It's a cartoon, stop action, animation, where it delves into like the origins of Santa Claus, and that's one of the closest because it was based on Saint Nick, who would give presents to children, and basically. It started as almost a rebellion against the government. And it's really interesting. And I encourage you, if you don't know the origins of Christmas, I encourage you to research them because it's actually really interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of curious. How did we turn... how did the holiday of Christmas turn into a event where you exchange gifts?
Well, that's the thing. And again, it goes to that duality of the two events, two holidays merging into one. And, you know, on one hand, you have people who are extremely religious who celebrate Christmas as Jesus' birthday. And then you have those that are non-religious who celebrate Christmas as a time of giving. I mean, it's both for both, but, you know, a time of giving, a time of... being with family and presents and all that stuff. And the thing about Christmas is it's worldwide.
Christianity... Well, it's becoming more and more worldwide. Yeah. I know, like, in certain parts of Asia, it's more of a recent thing. I want to say, like, 20 years ago, it wasn't really a thing
in China or Japan. What I mean by worldwide is I don't mean that everybody celebrates it everywhere. I mean that you can find people celebrating Christmas just about everywhere in this world, even if it's a small percentage of the population. You have, and you don't have Christianity ever. I mean, yeah, Christianity is a little bit everywhere too, mm-hmm. but you have people celebrating, Christmas in countries that don't have Christianity.
Right, so they're not really celebrating for the religious aspect of it.
Yeah, and one place that comes into mind is Japan. They actually have a good percentage of Christianity, but they've also celebrated Christmas for years before Christianity took that percentage. And it's a time to celebrate and be with your family and friends. And it's a time to give and be merry. Of course, lots of alcohol involved.
So, in a sense, they're celebrating more of the conventional current Christmas rather than the root idea of it.
Exactly. And personally, even though I grew up every year, my mom would read me The Donkey's Gift, which is actually, I'm not sure if it's in the Bible or if it's but it's a biblical story. I think it's in the Bible about Jesus being born. And she would read that every year during Christmas. Because, you know, it was one of those things. It was like Jesus' birthday and everything.
Right. So it was your family's tradition.
And it was one of our traditions. Even though I was not raised as Christian or Catholic, I was raised as, I guess it's non-denominational. I don't even know if that is the right term. Just non-religious.
Agnostic. Or,
no, okay. I was raised basically to encourage to believe what I want to believe.
Okay.
So it's not agnostic, although so,
but,
I relate more.
But closer. More agnostic than atheist.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely not atheist. And of course, the difference being that atheists do not believe in any sort of God. Agnostic believes if there is a God,
they accept the possibility.
Yeah.
They haven't ruled it out.
And a lot of agnostics believe even if there is a God, that it's something we cannot comprehend.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair definition.
Yeah, and right now, you know, with, as I said in the beginning of the episode, with my father passing and everything, that's kind of where I am. I'm going to keep this to a minimum, because I don't want to break down crying on the podcast, but also because, you know, that's not the topic.
That'd be a little awkward.
That's not the topic.
For me, at least.
Yeah. But it's interesting you bring that up, because, with my father recently passing, I had a conversation with my wife, and this probably might get some hate mail, but that's fine. I actually, because I am more agnostic now in my adult life, I actually even told my wife, who is very Catholic. I mean, we don't go to church all the time, but she's Catholic, raised Catholic and everything. And I said, you know, I kind of hope, and this is me in grief, so don't take it too seriously. I said that I kind of hope there is no heaven, because I feel like the people who go to heaven would be sad up there because they're leaving the people down here. And that's just...
That's pretty bleak.
Well, I was in a bad place.
Right, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, I'm in a better place now. That was almost a week ago now that my father passed away. So, but anyway, so move on to Christmas. So let's kind of move into our Christmas experience. Let's try to... Well... I'll let you start with this. Let's go ahead and talk about presents first.
You know, okay, so the thing about the way my family is, and I'm not sure if it's really more of a Chinese cultural thing or if it's just the way my family is, but presents in the form of actual gifts, of actual items, were pretty uncommon. It was actually, well, very uncommon. Specifically for my parents.
Yeah.
So we usually, for my parents, me and my siblings, or my siblings and I, usually receive money, and that was our gift. And that seems to be a pretty common theme with like birthdays, Christmas, Chinese New Year, graduation, what have you. It's always been money rather than an actual physical, well, I guess money is a physical item, but rather than an actual.
I see what you're saying though.
An actual item. So, and I'm not sure if that's more of a Chinese thing or if it's just more of my, just the way my parents do things. But, so that being said, I very rarely ever received any actual gifts that weren't just purely money.
Well, talking about that, I think it's very interesting that, in the Vietnamese tradition, because my brother's married to a Vietnamese woman, the tradition is basically parents and elders do not give anything to the younger. It's all the younger giving to the elders. And I think normally it's also money. So when my sister-in-law started becoming part of our tradition with my family, it was very weird for her. Even though she had known it, because she's been in America for years and years, even though she'd known it, it was more like, it was weird for her to receive gifts. Especially because in our tradition, my tradition, which I'll get into more later, it's like, the older you are, the more you spend on the younger. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my mom would very commonly spend $200-$300 on me. And I would spend $50 on my mom. Uh-huh. You know? So, it's very common and think times have changed since, you know, I've become an adult, working and stuff. But that was kind of like the dynamic. It's like, the elders always spend more on the younger.
Right.
Which
also, not to steal the spotlight, but, where, you know, my case, for most years, I haven't gotten my parents a gift because mm-hmm. it's kind of counterproductive. They give me money. What am I doing? Give them money back?
The whole Sheldon thing.
Yeah, exactly. So counterproductive. It's like, well, they're going to give me $100. I'm going to give them 20 back. Am I going to give them change?
So, like, thanks for the gift. Here's some change.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there have been a few occasions when I was, when I had money to spare that I would buy them actual gifts. I remember I bought my mom a, jeez, I can't remember. It was the Chinese god of prosperity. A little statue, like the Chinese god of prosperity. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Dad, I got him a couple gifts that were pretty terrible. That he would.
So,
one was essentially a textbook, which he wasn't going to read, but.
Yeah.
At the time, it seemed like a good idea.
So before we move on, let me ask you this. What religion is your parents?
Oh, jeez. Okay, so my dad, I want to say atheist.
Really?
Yeah. Well, to give a little background.
I mean, that's not surprising that your dad is. I've studied the Chinese religions before, and atheism is not one of the more popular ones.
Well, hear me out on this.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, I'm okay with atheism. Don't get me wrong.
My dad was born I don't think it was actually in Hong Kong. I think it was Macau or somewhere close to Hong Kong.
Okay.
In 1933.
Okay.
Remember what's going on in China around 1933?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay, well, World War II was
starting. Oh, well, yeah, I didn't think that.
So, you know, he's kind of dealing with, you know, he grew up during wartime. That's number one. Number two, my grandfather, his father,
uh-huh.
Passed away pretty young. I don't know how old he was, but I think my dad was maybe around 10 years old or so. Okay. So, you know, when you're exposed to war and death in the family at such a young age, you can kind of understand why he's a little bit, you know, atheist.
And again, I am not against any religion, be it atheism or anything. You know, like I said, I was well, this is turning more of a religious podcast, but anyway, I was brought up, you know, to decide what I wanted to, and I've been through it all. So, mm-hmm. So can that make sense? What about your mom?
My mom, it's a little harder to say with my mom. She's very private. Like, she's more private among people outside of the family, but even within the family, she's relatively private. So, I mean, honestly, I could say she could be atheist, she could be agnostic, she could be Buddhist. I'm not entirely sure.
Does she have any traditions?
Nothing that she follows. I mean,
it's, you guys don't have any shrines or anything at home.
Well, she has like a lot of like little statues of Chinese gods. So that's why I got her that one gift that one year, the god of prosperity.
I wonder if she's Taoist then.
I don't know. That's the thing. It's not something she talks about, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a poor choice of words, but she doesn't follow any religion religiously.
No, that's how my wife is. That's perfect term for my wife. She doesn't follow any religion religiously.
But as far as I'm aware of, honestly, she could be anywhere between atheist and Buddhist or Taoist. I'm not really sure. It's not something she really expresses.
I would say if she has trinkets, religious trinkets, then it's probably Taoist or just like a kind of like what I am. It's like whatever she believes in, she believes in.
Well, thank you for shedding insight on my ethnic religion. Okay, so and my
the reason I brought it up is because I'm wondering if you weren't around,
uh-huh.
would they celebrate Christmas?
Well, the thing is, well, it's hard to say because since I'm the youngest in my family, I don't know what their traditions were prior. I do know for a while we had a fake Christmas tree It was in the back shed. I remember like rummaging through boxes and finding like stuff, the things for to set up a fake, you know, a plastic Christmas tree. Yeah. But they never busted that out when I was actually a kid. Okay. And I remember, I was maybe like 8 or 9 years old. I got a little upset. It was actually almost like a Charlie Brown story. I made a makeshift Christmas tree. I wrapped a shoebox with wrapping paper and poked a hole and put a twig in there.
That's awesome. That's a great memory,
and,
though.
And my dad ultimately got a Christmas tree that year.
Okay. So, do you guys get Christmas tree most years now?
No. Like, maybe we've done it maybe once or twice.
Okay, so one more thing before we move on about your traditions, because I'm going to get into mine, too. December 24th this year, what goes on at your house?
Generally, for me, in the past 10 years, mm-hmm. I would start cooking for Christmas dinner.
Because that's what I was thinking. You celebrate Thanksgiving at home.
Yeah, but we generally treat Christmas somewhat like Thanksgiving. Like, we don't have the tradition of, like, going around the table and saying what we're thankful for or anything.
Yeah, I don't, I mean...
It's more of just kind of an excuse to have a family dinner. And that's what we kind of treat Christmas like, too. It's another excuse to have a family dinner.
Okay, well, and honestly, that, in my adult life, I've come to the realization that that's really what Thanksgiving, Christmas is all about.
Just having a reason to come together?
Yeah, just coming together, not even having the reason. It's just like, because, like, for example, when I was younger, I had dinner with my parents most nights, you know, and when I was first married, we lived with my parents, and even then, we had dinner with my parents most nights, you know, and granted, it wasn't sitting around a table. It was sitting in the family room in front of the TV. But you were still together. But we were still together. But it was always like, there was something extra special about Christmases. And so I guess that's kind of, that we've gone beyond the what is Christmas. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and skip around a little bit and go to Christmas tradition, since that's kind of what we've already started. Is there any other Christmas traditions that you can think of that you've experienced that
there,
you
there want? Was okay, go ahead. A very brief one that only happened a couple of years, two or three years. It was with my sister and my brother-in-law. There was this one street where just the entire street would just, they were very hardcore about having Christmas decorations. Uh-huh. Like, they did not kid around. It was just all out, just to the max.
Have you ever heard of Cripp's Place? Have you ever heard of Cripp's Place?
I have not.
Okay, so go ahead with your story. Now.
So, like, there was a few years in a row that we would drive down that street, and it was actually, like, kind of a common local tourist attraction where multiple people would go, drive down that street, and do... It was like a one-way street, or not one-way street, but it was a dead-end street, so everyone would drive down all the way to the end, turn around, and slowly drive back out. And just every house on that street was just decked out in lights, and that's probably the closest bit to a Christmas tradition I've had, where it would just drive down that street for like 2 or 3 minutes just to view all the lights.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because it's not called Cripp's Place. I guess it's I always thought it was called just Cripp's Place, but now that I think about it,
sounds a little gangster.
It's called Cripsmas Place, and I'm not sure why it's called.
Still sounds a little gangster.
Yeah, maybe the street is called something like that, but it's in Fremont, and it's exactly that. The whole neighborhood would agree every single... When you moved into that neighborhood, you agreed that you would decorate your house. You could not live in that neighborhood unless you signed an agreement that you would decorate your house.
How do they enforce it? Like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like,
It's if you know anything about... what's it called when people who sell homes? Realty?
Oh, okay.
Real estate? That there's... Homeowners Association stuff.
Okay, so they can actually enforce that.
Yeah.
Huh.
They can't... Well, no, they can't... Yes and no.
Okay.
So it's like...
So it's not legally binding, but...
Legally binding, but okay. If you don't do it, it's not like you're going to get kicked out of the neighborhood.
Right.
But, and there was always that one or two places in Cripsmas Place that was like, they didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, basically, when you move in there, you agree to like certain terms, and some of the terms could be like, you keep your lawn cut, and one of them in this place, and I think to this day, looking online, it's actually on Yelp and Facebook, that you agree that you will decorate your house during Christmas.
Hmm.
And that's why when you said that, it made me think of that. And that actually was a tradition for a few years too. Very, very little few years, because it was in Fremont. And, well, it was about half hour, 45 minutes from where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
But we did go down there for a couple of years. So another tradition that going along with that is that in Castro Valley, where my parents lived, when I was living there, we would just drive around Castro Valley and look at different houses decorations. It would generally be on our way back from somewhere, and it would generally be my dad driving. In more recent years, unfortunately, because of his health, it was my dad would stay home, and it would be me, my wife, my mom, and a lot of times my grandmother drove around Castro Valley, and I was the driver.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Last year, there's actually a place about 2 minute drive from here that it's a dead end street, and they decorate crazily every single year. So it's become more of a tradition for me and my wife to walk it, actually.
Oh.
And that's something that I really like. And last year,
I think you'd be able to appreciate it a little bit more walking rather than driving. Because I always figured the driver doesn't get to appreciate it as much.
Yeah, well, the thing about driving, I don't know about when you went, but driving down those kind of things, you literally go like 2 miles an hour.
Right, but still.
But still, yeah, yeah. You still got to watch out for people crossing the street. Right. You got to watch out for, you know.
So yeah, I was like 8 at the time, so I wasn't driving.
Yeah, what I did was I just, last year was the first year that, so 2 years ago, no. 2 years ago, we knew it existed,
uh-huh.
but we had moved in here literally like the day before Christmas, so it was like there was really no time for anything. But I knew it existed, and last year we actually parked
uh-huh.
and walked the whole area, and I think that's going to be a tradition every year. And I really want, unfortunately, like I said, my dad passed, but he loved that kind of stuff, and I wanted to get him down here last year, and it just didn't happen. But hopefully this year, even though my mom isn't in the best place for Christmas right now, I'm hoping that I'll get her down here. And I'm really hoping that even though it's like one of those things, like I just want the holidays to pass right now because of what's going on. At the same time, I want to embrace the holidays and make us more happy.
Right. So it's somewhat bittersweet.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess you could say it's kind of like the continuing the tradition in a new way.
Right.
And just to put this out there, normally I won't put this out there. We are recording this a good portion before Christmas. So I know this episode comes out right before Christmas, but we're actually a good portion before Christmas. So,
but that's practically why it's been Christmas. So it's like October. Well,
the only reason I bring it up is because I'm talking about Christmas like it's still far off.
Right.
And it's a good portion off still. We have
but by the time you guys hear it, it will be totally at the appropriate time. Assuming you celebrate Christmas.
And if not, then you know what? Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all that stuff.
Christmaka.
More Christmas traditions with me as a child basically looked like this. I'm trying to remember back because a lot has changed since when I was a kid. When I was a kid, obviously, my whole family was intact. My grandfather on my dad's side died young. And now my dad. But my grandma also died in 2004. So, thinking back to when I was a kid, Christmas Eve would oftentimes be spent with my grandmother on my mom's side because it was her birthday. Okay, so it would mostly be spent as a birthday day. Christmas morning would oftentimes be spent at my dad's parents' house. Breakfast, presents, and everything. And then we'd go over my mom's parents' house for Christmas dinner. And so it was kind of like we were always on the move. But one thing that stayed consistent every single year, actually two things. One, the first one is Christmas morning was present time in my house. And it, unfortunately, Elliot, I hope that when you have kids that you instill this on them, because it's probably the most special moment, special memory I've ever had. Christmas morning in my house. Sometimes I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I knew better than to go out into the front room
mm-hmm.
because I had to wait for my parents to wake up. So I'd do one of two things. When I was really young, I would just go wake up my parents. We gotta get up now. You know. But when I got a little older, like early teens, I would go into my brother's room and we would play video games for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So that became a tradition, you know. As weird as it sounds, one of the traditions that I really remember is Jurassic Park The Lost World on Sega Genesis.
Huh.
Okay, game that probably wasn't that good. We had just rented it from Blockbuster a couple days before.
For those of you that aren't aware of Blockbuster, just look it up on Wikipedia.
I didn't even think of that.
It's this thing from the 80s and 90s. It's
early 2000s, too.
Yeah, early 2000s. It's not really a thing anymore.
No. No. But yeah, we rented Jurassic Park The Lost World video game. And I remember sitting there and just playing video games with my brother. And it was like, it was just one of those memories that I'll always have. But yeah, and then we'd go out and there would be stockings stuffed. And we'd have our own area that we sat. It was pretty much constant every year until we got married. I was on the left side of the...
You and your wife.
Yeah. So I was on the left side of the couch. My brother was on the right side. My dad was at his chair. My mom was at his chair. Or her chair. And we'd open our stockings. I always thought it was funny when I was young that my parents never opened their stockings.
Hmm.
Turns out, they exchanged stockings the night before.
Huh.
So that was their one of their traditions. Oh. That they would actually open their
cheaters.
Own. Yeah. So like 2 in the morning after they were done putting all the presents out, making it seem like Santa Claus was there. I hope no young people are listening to this. They would go through each other. They would go through their own stockings. And later, when we found out about it, I kind of hated it because they'd be like, okay, we're going to go through our stockings now. Go to bed. And I'm talking about, I'm like 21, 22 years old, oh. Still living at home with my, you know, my wife and everything. Like, okay, go to bed. Yeah. It's like, how are you going to tell a 22-year-old to go to bed? But
so, again, any youngsters, feel free to shut this off right now. So, how old were you when you realized there wasn't a Santa?
You just
because I remember my best friend in elementary school, this was probably maybe second grade or so, I told him there's no Santa Claus. He got so mad at me and started throwing out all this evidence. Like, I found a boot print in the living room. My brother
did
the
same thing. So, did you never believe in Santa Claus? Or?
Well, the way my dad is, and, you know, I don't fault him for it, but he doesn't like to lie to me.
Yeah,
he told me there's no Tooth Fairy, no Santa Claus, and I was like 4, maybe 5 years old. Which, I mean, you know, I can see where he's coming from. He doesn't want to lie to his kid. He doesn't want to, you know. So, from a very young age, I believe there was no Santa Claus. But not only that, but just the evidence of it. Because the house I lived in, our chimney had this, I don't know what it's called, but pretty much, there's no way a person's fitting through that.
I never had a chimney, and I still believe. But that was because my mom, as creative as she was, she's like, oh, he comes through. I forgot what it was, but it was like, oh, no.
Through the electrical outlet?
No. That's right. So go ahead and finish, and then I'll tell you about my tradition.
No, I mean, that's it. Okay. Just
So my tradition with Santa Claus, and this is the second thing I wanted to get to earlier, was that Santa Claus didn't get the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
He brought our family one gift per year. And when Santa Claus brought a gift, it was always Christmas night. So basically, the way it would work is my mother would prepare a gift, and I didn't find this out till late, many years later. And what's funny about this is I actually didn't even when I knew Santa Claus wasn't real, it would be one of those things like, how did she do this? How did this happen every year? So my mom would actually always find an excuse when we were on my way to my grandparents to come back into the house. Like, oh, I forgot my keys. Oh, I forgot my purse. Oh, I forgot whatever. And during those brief moments, she would run to her room, grab the present, run to the front room, put the present down.
Huh.
And then so when we got back, she'd always make sure my brother or me were the first ones in. And there it would be, the present from Santa Claus.
Hmm.
As a kid, I never put 2 and 2 together. Why were other kids getting all their presents from Santa Claus, me and my family only getting one? Because, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, the Santa Claus brought the gifts the night before.
Hmm.
But my parents always told me, no, that's from us, you know. And then, so
they didn't want to give Santa too much credit.
Yeah. It became tradition that Santa Claus' gift was the last gift, and it was always the most valuable. And it was always centered towards either just me and my brother, or me, my brother, and my dad, usually. Or family-wide. I mean, there's been times where it was, like, something we really needed. You know, like, whatever, like a new, I don't know. Can't think of it. But one that sticks out is Phantasy Star 4 for the Sega Genesis. I'm talking about video games a lot. Video games have a lot to do with my childhood. Future episodes, you'll really see that with me. But Phantasy Star 4, and it was one of those things. I was so young, actually. I didn't play games at the time. I loved to watch. So my dad was the one who actually played the game. And I remember being like, Mom, and mind you, we get back to our house at like 8, 9 o'clock. And I'm young, so my bedtime's like 9, 10 o'clock. You know, I'd be like, oh, let's play for a little bit kind of thing. So I remember sitting behind my dad's chair, or standing behind my dad's chair, watching him play like the first, you know, half hour or whatever of the game. But that's the kind of thing that Santa did for us. So a few other traditions that I'll just go through really quick. My grandmother, oh, it's going to be sad this year because this will be the first year she can't do this. My grandma always gave my dad and his brothers lifesavers. They always made these packs of lifesavers. I'm sure you just heard my cat. She's just chiming in on Christmas. My grandma would always hide lifesavers somewhere in the house. And it was just one of those traditions with them that she gave them lifesavers since they were kids.
She wants to chime in, all right?
Yeah, she wants to chime in. She's had one Christmas. So anyway, my dad hated lifesavers.
Okay.
But it was the tradition. It had to be there, or it wasn't Christmas. Mm-hmm. Going along with that, my mom always gives me and my brother Legos every single Christmas.
You know what, though? It's like you can't go wrong with Legos.
You can't! But
it doesn't matter how... If you're a boy, regardless...
Or a girl, these days.
Well, yeah, I suppose. But, you know, if more old school, it was always kind of for boys.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can't go wrong with it.
You can't. Legos are amazing, and I still buy Legos today.
I want to, but they're expensive.
Yeah,
surprised how expensive they are.
In the more recent years, my mom would always just get us like one of those like $7 Legos. Like it's like 30 pieces, you know. Like, but it's still the tradition of, you know, that's what me and my brother get every year. And she'd always ask us, "Do you want Legos as ever since we were older? Do you want Legos as one of your main gifts or one of your second gift, like cheaper gifts?" And some years, like last year, I think she spent like $40 on one of my Legos.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, that was one of my more main gifts. So that's another Christmas tradition. I'm trying to think of any more. That's basically it. So to just kind of wrap that up in a nice little Christmas bow, tradition prior to this year was now that I would go to my parents' house in the early morning, like 9 o'clock, and we'd open presents. And we open stockings, and then it would be someone would cook breakfast. Sometimes it was me, my sister-in-law, whatever, my mom. And then after breakfast, we'd all open presents. And then after that, it would be like people would come over because it's also my cousin's birthday, which is, you know, I know two people, one on the 24th and one on the 25th. Actually, they're both 24th. And then my cousin would come over, and we'd see my cousin and stuff, and then. Then it would be Christmas dinner at my parents' house. So it was always like, it was at my parents' house all day.
I'm a little jealous that you had that stereotypical American Christmas morning experience.
Yeah, I did. I really did.
Because, you know, even though I am American, I didn't really have that experience growing up. We have the Christmas dinners, but not the Christmas mornings. Well, the waking up, opening presents, and things like that.
That's something to start with your kids, though.
Hopefully, know? Yeah. I would hope to do that one if/when I have kids.
I'm sure you will.
Well, hopefully.
But and that's the thing. Like I have a lot of traditions from my youth that I want to continue over to my family when I have it, and some that I won't continue. Christmas morning will continue, and I think Christmas morning at my mom's house, even when I have kids, will continue. My brother now has a kid, my niece, and it's still tradition for them to come over. So I think for the foreseeable future that it'll be like that. You know, Christmas morning is at my mom's house. Christmas dinner's at my mom's house, and I don't know. I mean, maybe when my kids are older, maybe it'll be different, but for the foreseeable future, that's what I want for my family. So do you have any best Christmas memories?
You know, that's the thing, though. For me, all the Christmases are kind of the same. It's, you know, I would get money as a gift. Occasionally goes check out that street that had a ton of lights and Christmas dinner. So it's hard for me to say if I really had a best Christmas, although I can actually say that 2 years ago I experienced my first white Christmas.
Obviously, there was a white person at your Christmas?
Yeah, there was. There was.
Was this when you were in I was in
Idaho? Idaho. Yeah. So being that the area that me and Jeremy live in, we don't really experience snow. It's just not really a thing.
And the few years that we have, it's like February. It's like deep summer or winter.
Yeah, and even then, it's more of like, oh, look, a snowflake. Oh, it's water now.
Yeah.
So I did experience my first white Christmas, and that was 2 years ago in Idaho, where my brother is currently living. And, you know, even though I wasn't around majority of my family, just my brother, it was, I want to say, pretty special, just because it was something different.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have had one Christmas, white Christmas. For the majority, I don't, because the only people I know that live in the snow is my uncle, and we usually either see him, like, the week before or the week after, so it's generally been, but I do remember 1 year we did celebrate Christmas up there during Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and it was a white Christmas, and I do remember that it was something a little different, it was, you know, something a little different, so, my best Christmas goes back a few years now, not too many. I was living at my parents still, but I was already married, so that narrows it down to about 5 years. And me and my brother and my wife and his girlfriend, now wife, decided to all chip in and buy my dad and mom a flat screen TV. This is before they were cheap. We bought him a Vizio TV. It was a 42-inch 720p for, like, outrageous price. I mean, you know, now you can get a 42-inch 720 TV for, like, $200. Back then, it was, like, $1,500.
Well, perhaps since we mentioned that we're recording this in advance... we are actually recording this on Black Friday, so there are amazing deals out there, even though we did make an episode about how we're not going to participate in Black Friday, and I inadvertently kind of did.
You participated in Black Friday online. It's different than in person.
Right, and only because I came across some money.
Yeah, I came across some money. You mean your birthday money.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
So
I'm 30. I don't like this.
You're not 30 yet. You still have 3 days.
I still don't like this.
So anyway, so we bought my parents a flat screen TV. And this is at a time where I wasn't working. My wife, I was working a little bit. My wife was working a little bit. My brother had an okay job. My brother's girlfriend had an okay job. None of us had, like, career jobs. And we all chipped in on this. And I'm sure that's going to come out of the microphone. My cat is chasing a moth
she's eyeballing it.
She's eyeballing it, and Elliot just keeps looking at the cat like, what are you doing?
What are you looking at? I don't see it.
Yeah, anyway, so what me and my brother decided to do, instead of just wrapping it up and putting it out there, we decided that we wanted to wake up at like 5 in the morning and not only get the TV and unwrap it, but mount it on the walls.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that would be a pretty awesome response. You know, Dad walks in.
Yeah. Like,
okay, so, apparently this is a thing.
And that's exactly what we, you know, wanted. And I remember that my dad woke up at like 5:30 in the morning. And was like, I want to go sit in my chair and sleep for an hour or two before, because that's what my dad would do because he had back problems. I want to go sleep in my chair. Why aren't you letting me sleep in my chair? We're like, Dad, you can't sleep in your chair this morning. You have to go out into the other room and sleep on the couch.
Yeah, that's not suspicious at all.
Well, he knew something was going on, obviously, at that point. But he didn't know what. And he was, like, getting mad in the morning. Like, why are you doing this to me? I just want to sleep in my chair, you know? And so me and my brother got the TV up. Mostly my brother. I was the one who sat with my dad most of the time. Make sure he didn't get up and go out there. Got it mounted and everything. And I remember my mom woke up and we were like, you gotta go sit out there with Dad until we're finished. And then we brought them both out there at the same time. And I got it on video somewhere. And of course, it brought tears to my mom's eye.
Aww.
You know, it was like one of those really, really sweet moments. So that's probably my best Christmas moment. The other one would be the time when I bought my... me and my brother and girls bought my parents the PlayStation 3. Because it was, again, one of those years where it was like none of us really had the money. Like now, I mean, I'm not saying we're rich or anything, but now it's like if I buy someone, like my brother or my mom a PlayStation 3, it's like, spend a couple $100. Oh, well, that's nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it was like, it meant a lot.
Right.
And, so we had them do a scavenger hunt. And we had two different, hunts.
Okay.
So, well, they followed each other to a certain point, and then there was two envelopes. But, like, one person had to figure out this clue, and the other had to figure out the puzzle. And the puzzle was a picture of my cat at the time sitting on top of the PlayStation 3. And so as my dad's out there unwrapping the present, like figuring out where the present is and unwrapping it, my mom is in the kitchen trying to figure out what the present is by figuring out the puzzle. Because it's more for my dad than it was for my mom.
Because
It was a Blu-ray player and my dad wanted it. It was a video game system, my dad wanted it. But, you know, my mom really appreciated it too. So she's like sitting there and we wouldn't let them talk to each other until they both figured it out. So my mom's like sitting there and my mom figured it out first. Because she was able to do the puzzle real quick. And she goes, oh, it's Baby, which is the name of my cat. And then she goes, what's he sitting on? And she realized it. And my dad, so it was another one of those moments. It was a very emotional Christmas morning. You know, they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys did this for us kind of thing. So those are my, and it's funny that it's the giving, you know, that, that really.
So it really is the thought that counts.
Yeah. So those are my two best Christmases.
I'm pretty envious, to be honest.
Yeah. So let's start going towards the end of this episode and talk about this Christmas. Well, we kind of already talked about what you expect this Christmas, but
yeah, it's pretty much going to be the same thing. Kind of every year, I'll probably get a little Christmas money, which I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate it, but it does, you know, kind of take away a little bit from it. And I'll likely be in charge of a Christmas dinner of some sort, which I'm okay with. I have no problems with doing.
Yeah,
but and for you, I imagine it'd be a bit difficult.
I don't know what Christmas is going to be like. Thanksgiving was very difficult. My dad passed away less than a week before Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving got canceled. It was supposed to be at my brother's. 100 people. Well, not 100 people. A lot of people. Sorry, not 100 people.
That's
they spent hundreds of dollars.
Okay.
It was supposed to be like a lot of people. Friends, family, relatives, everything. Of course, my dad was supposed to be there, my mom. And he passed away the weekend before Thanksgiving. And so my brother and his wife canceled it. They still cooked all the food. And they brought it over to my mom's house. So I had Thanksgiving lunch with my mom. And it was actually very, very nice. Unfortunately, and if any of them are listening, it has nothing to do with them. But when I got over my in-laws' house, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was that, you know, everyone was just so happy and I wasn't or what. But I got extremely depressed. So it was really hard. It was a really hard Thanksgiving. As much as I love seeing my niece, and I spent the whole evening the whole time I spent with my niece, I was okay. It was like I was happy to see her because I don't see her very much. She's 13 years old. It was after that. It was as soon as they left, and then we were there for about 2 hours after that, that I started getting really depressed. By the time I got home on Thanksgiving, I was just in a bad place. And I'm determined, the reason I bring that up is I'm determined not to let that happen on Christmas. You know, I'm determined to, I don't know what my mom will feel like at that point. It's, you know, only a month and a week after my dad will be passed away. So I don't know what my mom will feel like, but I'm determined to make the best of it, you know. I miss my dad terribly, but at the same time, you know, I know everything's going to be okay and he's no longer sick and all that stuff. So I'm going to make it a happy, Merry Christmas either way. As for what I expect on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve, well, there's some debate on exactly what's going to happen, but Christmas Eve is most likely going to be with my in-laws. I don't know. I think it's going to be local. My wife's parents live about a half hour away, but her oldest brother lives about an hour and a half away. A lot of times we spend it at his house, but this year I'm pretty sure it's going to be spent over in her parents' house. And, you know, it's just going to be, again, with you. They celebrate both Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it's the same thing. It's like it's all about being with family. There's going to be presents, but it's not going to be much. It's going to be like one present for each person kind of thing. It's going to be more about the being with family and dinner and such.
So, actually, it just popped in my head. There actually was one very memorable Christmas. And my sister did this white elephant gift exchange thing, which, if you are not familiar with this, from my recollection, is everyone draws a number, and whoever's got the lowest number picks a gift, like by random.
So that is white elephant, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a random. You get, pick a random gift, and you can choose to keep that gift or steal someone else's gift.
Uh-huh.
But once your turn's over, it's over. So someone can choose to steal your gift.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, my brother-in-law, he is a endodontist. Which, okay, let me. I'll just make it easier. He's a dentist.
I was like to say he's a dentist.
He's a dentist, and when he was at UCLA, he was getting free toothpaste samples from, I believe, Crest. So, we have, like, cases and cases of toothpaste samples at home. I remember one year, when my sister threw out the idea for this white elephant gift thing, I was like, well, I don't have anything, you know, to give, really, and I don't really want to go spend money on, you know, a gift that I don't even know who it's going to go to.
Yeah.
So, I took one of these cases of toothpaste, wrapped it up. And my least favorite aunt, so I have five aunts, only three were there, but my least favorite one, she picked up the box, she was like, ooh, it's heavy. And I started just laughing, I just could not stop laughing, I was laughing hysterically. She picked up the box, she was like, ooh, it's heavy, and she opened, so she chose that as her gift.
Uh-huh.
Opened it up, box of toothpaste samples, and obviously, needless to say, no one stole that gift from her.
It's funny you mention that because a few years ago, so me and Desiree, since we moved out, we've thrown a few white elephant Christmas parties. The rules have always been if you want to bring a funny gift, you have to bring a serious one. If you don't want to bring a funny gift, you only have to bring one. So it's like if you were to come, Elliot, it would be like, and you want to bring a funny one, you'd have to bring a serious gift and then a funny one. So you'd bring two gifts.
Okay, so one gag gift.
One gag gift and one not. So that was always the... and there'd always be those people who didn't bring gifts. And mm-hmm. that was also a way to ensure that they were able to participate. So one year, me and Desiree, we bought a makeup case. Like a makeup bag. And inside it, we put condoms, lube, and pregnancy test.
Oh, man. And in case the first one didn't work.
Yeah. So condoms, lube, and a pregnancy test. Okay, now first of all, can you imagine we were at Walmart buying all those things at once? Okay, so that was funny enough. But then someone actually got that during our Christmas party, and they picked first. So they didn't... No one stole it, of course.
Yeah, they didn't have the opportunity to steal
from someone else. Yeah, so they picked it first, and that's the gift that they end with. That same party... Someone brought a gag gift of a butt plug.
Oh, dear.
Funny story.
Oh, did someone steal it?
No. But the girl who got it actually used butt plugs.
I'm not sure this is appropriate for a Christmas special.
It was a Christmas memory.
I suppose.
But, so that's a kind of funny story, a Christmas story about that. So let's move on to our final, little segment here, or little, topic, and that's future Christmas. So we were kind of touched on this, and this is something I thought about mid, podcast, but what do you envision, let's say, you know, 10 years down the line, you have a wife and kid or two or five.
Whoa, slow down. Slow down there, partner.
What do you envision your Christmases being?
You know, I've always, like I said, I was envious of you. I've always been envious of that traditional all-American Christmas. Waking up Christmas morning, opening presents. I never really experienced that, and I've always been envious of people who did.
Yeah,
like my best friend in elementary school. Like I said, you know, he got mad at me when I told him Santa Claus didn't exist. I want my kids to get mad at people that tell them Santa Claus don't exist. I want that, you know, that all-American feeling of vibe of Christmas. Yeah. I mean, beyond the consumerism and buying stuff, but,
yeah.
You know, family moments and all that crap, but...
all that crap!
Well, but, you know, that is something that I never got to experience. I really wish I did. Yeah. And any future kids I do have, I want them to experience that.
Before I get to mine, since we went down the rabbit hole and never got back to it, you asked me when I realized Santa Claus wasn't real.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
So, just real quick, it actually happened...
Was it last year?
It actually happened not during Christmas time.
Really?
Not during winter at all.
Hmm.
It was like, I don't even know what month or whatever it was, but my mom... I don't even remember what the conversation was about, but my mom... We're sitting in the car, and I'm going from... What's funny is I know exactly where I was in the sit. Like, I was sitting in the back of my mom's car. My brother's in the front seat. And we're going from my school to my grandmother's house to visit. My mom says, yeah, you know, I don't remember what we were talking about. Yeah, you know, just like Santa Claus isn't real, it's the same thing.
Oh, that's a bit of a slip right there.
And I'm old enough at this point where I should have already known. But it's like one of those things, it's like... What did she just say?
Like, wait, hold up. Back up again? What did you just say?
I did not tell her that she did that to me until I was an adult.
Oh.
And wow. I did not say anything in that car ride. I was just, like, thinking the whole time to my grandmother's house, like, and putting two and two together. Of course Santa Claus isn't real at that point, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I told my mom a few years ago, like, you know, you really ruined Santa Claus for me. It was, like, mid-year, and you said, just like Santa Claus isn't real, we were sitting in the car, and she's like... I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were so old. I figured you already knew. Well, I mean, and by so old, I mean like 10, 11, 12.
Right, but yeah, at the age you should have probably figured it out by then.
So future Christmas. Again, you know, been thrown for a loop this year with my dad passing away, but I still see Christmas morning at my mom's house, even if it's just breakfast, you know, breakfast and presents and... stockings and stuff. I see Christmas morning at my mom's house. Even with my kids and everything. And of course, fast forwarding, hopefully years and years, when my mom passes away, considering she's still in good health, so it's going to be at least 20 plus years.
Yeah, hopefully, at
hopefully,
least.
Yeah. I can see Christmas morning definitely at my house. You know, no one shares that moment except for my immediate family. And that's kind of going with what you said is you know, it's a very special moment. And no one shares that moment. I never want anyone to share that moment with my family, with my mom, with my brother. I mean, if he does his own thing with his family, with his immediate family, that's fine. But I don't want anybody... That's a very intimate and special moment. And I want that to be the same for my kids.
You see, that's why I'm a bit jealous, because I never really had those intimate moments.
Yeah, and stockings, too. Stockings are special.
Also never really experienced those either.
And as an adult, there's such an impracticality of stockings. Because you're buying little, tiny gifts that could be worth a lot of money. Like, valuable. Like, cost a lot of money. But you're buying these tiny gifts that go in a stocking, along with all the presents you buy the person.
You know, to go down a rabbit hole, very briefly.
All right, briefly, because we have about 8 minutes.
Okay,
7 minutes.
So when I was, when I was born, one of my cousins, I think it was one of my cousins, she knitted me a stocking. And up until I was like maybe 8 or 9,
thought you wore it on your foot.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I thought it was a sock.
I was kidding.
I thought it was just like a sock.
You thought you were going to grow into it or something?
I didn't know how it worked. I'm like, well, where's the other? Why do I only have one?
This That's doesn't hilarious. Make sense.
I didn't really understand the concept of stockings. Well, in the Christmas sense.
And again, I mean, that makes sense. Makes sense because you didn't grow up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I always thought, like, oh, this is kind of a weird sock. Doesn't fit that well.
Yeah,
it's a little flashy. It's just a little fuzzy on the side.
And again, it's that whole thing, you know, and it's good that, see, this is, I know I've said this both episodes we've recorded, but it's such a good dynamic we have on this podcast because we grew up so differently. We not only culturally, but in every way. So this is a great example of the kind of back and forth we'll be able to have on this podcast. I mean, this is only episode 3.
Yeah, my family is weird.
Well, my family's weird too, but in a totally opposite way. No, it's like so opposite weird spectrums. Actually, your family, funny you say that. Your family reminds me more of my sister-in-law's family, the Vietnamese family. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's half Chinese,
too. Wow, being this a bit of a race thing, huh?
No, she's half Chinese, too.
Oh, okay, now it's okay.
Now it's okay. But it's funny because, like, a lot of things you say in general about your family kind of reminds me of her family. Mm. To the point of, you know, they had kids when they were younger, but you're the youngest, so they were older when they had you. And the same thing right. is same thing as her. She's not the youngest, but her eldest sister is, like, way older than them. Mm-hmm. And her parents, her dad is like in his late, like 70s or 80s now. So it's kind of interesting because, you know, on one hand, we talk about your stuff and then I can relate to it with my sister-in-law's stuff. But then I look at my own stuff and it's like my own family and it's just
I can't experiences. Relate to it.
You can't relate to it. And that's the good dynamic between us. All right. So off-topic picks.
All right, I'll let you start since right, I started the last one.
All right, we introduced this last week, and if you didn't listen, then basically each week we will talk about something that is usually off-topic, and it's something we want to share with the audience. This week it happens to be on-topic because we want to keep it Christmassy, but normally it'll be something that really didn't have to relate with our topic, something we picked beforehand and something we just kind of talk about. So again, I'll start this week, and if you haven't seen this, you're probably either A, too young, or B, you don't celebrate Christmas. And that is or don't celebrate Christmas in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. A Garfield Christmas special.
I want to say I've seen that. I think I know which one that is.
Do you remember Odie with the hoe? The gardening tool, sorry, the gardening tool hoe.
I don't remember that one.
So Garfield made Odie, not spoiler alert, because this is like towards the end. Garfield made Odie a present out of like a cat scratching post or something, and then a garden hoe. So that Odie could scratch his back.
I don't remember. There's only one part that I potentially remember, but I'm not even sure if it is that exact special or not. But anyways, carry on.
Well, tell me what the part was.
Well, it involved. I only remember the ending, so I don't want to give any spoilers.
Okay, well then, I'm gonna try to find a clip of Odie scratching on his gift.
Okay, which I don't remember that at
all. And I'll put that in the show notes. But basically, Garfield Christmas special. It personally means a lot to me. My brother was a huge Garfield fan when he was young, and we would watch this every single year. And even in the more recent years when, you know, my brother's moved out, been married, I've moved out and been married, I still try to watch it every year because it is one of those special, and it's one of those cartoons, it's one of those specials that just makes you feel good.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the Charlie Brown specials,
though. It's made in the same era.
Really? I figured
Charlie Brown might have been a little older, but
I think significantly older.
The Christmas special. I think they were because they were all made like in the like long time ago.
Yeah,
80s, 90s.
No. I think Charlie Brown's were like 50s, 60s.
Not the Christmas special.
Still, I think 60s.
Well, we can look it up. Okay. I'd actually be interested. Why don't you look it up while I'm talking? Right. But the Garfield Christmas special was all about, and again, it goes back to my ideals of Christmas. It's all about that family. All about that. Feeling of unity with your family, and they went to like their uncles or something, and it was like I remember the Christmases I spent with my uncles and everything. It's like even though it was weird not being home, it was still Christmas because we were with family. What years were they?
Okay, so a Garfield Christmas special, 1987.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Any guesses on the Charlie Brown one?
87.
Okay. No. 1965.
Really?
Yeah. If you watch the animation, it is significantly different.
Wow! But I
drastically.
I did not expect that.
No, I knew Charlie Brown's been around a while.
I did not expect that much of a difference.
Yeah, I knew it was pretty significant.
So anyway, so if you haven't seen the Garfield special, though, and you want that feel-good moment, if you want to, you know, get in the Christmas spirit, more than Grinch, more than, in my opinion, more than Charlie Brown, go check out Garfield special. Especially if you love cats. I mean, Garfield isn't a cat in the traditional sense, but he's still a cat. I absolutely love it. So I'll have a clip of that. If not, you know what? To make this even better, if I can find the whole cartoon, half-hour cartoon, I will have that on the show notes. If not, I'll just find a clip of Odie scratching. Because it's a good song in the background and everything.
Alright, so for my off-topic pick, this involves my dad. He is a big fan of a specific clip in A Christmas Story. You know, the movie that they show on, I think it was a TBS?
Never understood the movie, but yeah.
How do you not understand the movie?
Going back to my dad, before you go on to the clip itself, my dad was always, we never watched this. It's a traditional Christmas show for a lot of people. My dad never liked it. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things, he was just kind of like, that doesn't remind me of Christmas. It's Christmas, but it doesn't remind me of Christmas. I don't like it. So right. For me and my brother, I did not actually watch A Christmas Story until I was in high school or maybe even college.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So, as oddly as it is, my dad's favorite scene in A Christmas Story, keeping in mind I'm Chinese, full Chinese, both my parents are Chinese, his favorite scene in the movie is when they're at the Chinese restaurant and the Chinese waiters are trying to sing Christmas carols, and they are totally butchering. I'm butchering it now. Totally butchering the Christmas carols. I forgot how exactly it goes. I think it was something along the lines of "Tis the season to be jolly, rah 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 rah."
Oh God!
My dad finds that so hilarious, and I find it kind of weird that he finds it hilarious because it's, you know.
Does your dad have an accent like that?
Not really.
That's more Japanese. That's why I'm wondering.
Well, I don't know if I could really say it's more Japanese, because I have heard Chinese people pronounce my name Erliot.
Really?
Yeah, I've even had letters addressed to me as Erliot.
I guess because Japanese take a lot of the language from China, so Chinese, so.
I don't know, but anyways, it always kind of, like, you know, shocked me that my dad finds that scene so hilarious, because when you look at it now, it's actually kind of racist. I want to say I'm not too sensitive when it comes to racism,
yeah,
especially towards Asians, which, I mean, I don't know why. Maybe I should be more sensitive to it.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, especially during the time that this movie was released, it probably wasn't that big of a deal. And my dad just always found it absolutely hilarious. And it was always kind of weird to me that he would find... Because he recognized that they're making fun of, you know, Asians in that scene, but it didn't bother him. He always found it, you know, pretty funny.
Well, that's a great tradition. I put a question mark on the end of that because it's an
interesting tradition.
Hey,
let's watch a movie where they make fun of Asians.
But that's the thing. That's the kind of thing that I can foresee you bringing to your kids in the future, like. You guys want to hear a funny story about this scene here? You know, yeah. And then it becomes a tradition. Like, not to kind of go back, I know we're doing our picks. I actually have another very, 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 very important tradition in my family. And that is watching Christmas Vacation. Chevy Chase.
Okay. It's one of those National Lampoons, right?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And that is going to be one of those movies that I will forever watch every single year.
I've never seen it.
It was my uncle and my, because it's that generation of our parents. Well, my parents, maybe your parents too. I don't know.
My parents are pretty old.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Slightly, your parents are a couple years older.
couple years. My dad's 81.
I wasn't gonna say anything. Okay,
I'm just throwing it out there.
So anyway, that was a tradition of the 70s generation. How about we just say it that way?
Okay.
That
so not my parents.
No, that was a very influential movie. Not influential. That's a very popular movie for Christmas. And not to mention that Chevy Chase in general was very influential on my...
Is that Chevy Chase?
Chevy.
Chevy.
He actually... It's pronounced Chevy Chase.
I thought it was Chevy Chase.
It's either way. Okay. But,
carry on. Rabbit hole.
Yeah. My uncle Chevy Chase, whatever his name is, really, it's like that he influenced not only, like, he actually influenced how he acts. So that's how influential he was on my family. But every year we'd watch Christmas Vacation. So, it was always more like I watched it for my uncles, but my dad loved it too. So, you know, it's one of those traditions that I'm going to make sure to carry on in, you know, 20 years when my kids are theoretically, you know, 18, 19 years old and they're starting to move out. I hope that they bring that. That's one tradition I really hope. So that's not only a current tradition, but a future tradition I hope continues that my kids will bring with them is that movie. So anyway, Garfield Christmas Special and A Christmas Story racist Chinese joke.
Which is okay, because Chinese people apparently find it funny.
Yes. I'm gonna try to find links for both of those. And again, as a Christmas gift, I'm gonna try to find links to the whole movie and the whole episode of Garfield. But if not, we will have at least those clips, because I can always record them. And that's about it for this episode.
Alright.
You know, it's been a nice Christmas. And here, back in current time, it hasn't even started.
Oh, no. I mean, again, it started in October.
I know. But if you want to get a hold of us, almostrelevantpodcast@gmail.com. And as promised, we do have a Facebook now. And that's facebook.com/almostrelevantpodcast. You can also just find us by searching Almost Relevant Podcast. So please like us and let us know what you think. And the website, you can go to jeremycollier.com/almostrelevant. Check us out there. We really appreciate your feedback. So if you're out there and you're listening, and there's a good amount of people listening already, let us know what you think. I'll even throw this out there. Topics that you want us to talk about.
There's a hole you want us to delve into? Let us know. We'll delve into that hole.
Because we're at about 2 months now since we're doing two episodes a month. We're a little under 2 months, so we're going to go ahead and say, open it up. If you have something you want us to talk about, a subject, let us know, and we will talk about it in a future episode. Next time on Almost Relevant Podcast, or upcoming on Almost Relevant Podcast, because you never know what order we're going to go in, because we're almost relevant, we're going to be talking about the Marvel franchise in movies and TV. It's going to be an interesting topic, because as of lately, Marvel has decided to try to sabotage some of their upcoming movies. Sabotage some of Fox's upcoming movies. And we'll talk about more of that in next episode.
Big business.
What?
Big business.
Oh, big business. All right. As you can see, we've been very merry tonight with our alcohol.
Just a little bit.
And Elliot's first time drinking in how long?
About 4 years.
4 years, so he's very merry.
Woohoo!
Have a good week, and we'll see you. Oh, have a good Christmas.
And don't forget to drink more Ovaltine.
That was random.
Hey, it's from A Christmas Story, alright?
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
We will be back next year, because this will be the last episode we... Oh, no, I'm sorry. We actually have one more episode. We have one more episode after this.
Yeah, all right, way to fake out there.
Yeah. So either you'll hear from us before the end of the year, or you won't.
An episode roughly 2 weeks from this episode.
Thank you, Elliot.
I'm not sure at what date that would be, but it will be roughly 2 weeks from this one.
You know what? We're new to this. It's not like I've been podcasting for 5 years or anything.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
All right, have a good week, have a good Christmas, and if we don't talk to you...
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever, etc.
Well, I was going to say, if we haven't talked to you, have a good New Year.
Okay. Oh, that too.
That too. All right. See you later. Merry New Year.
Opening song with Our Wind in Our Sails, provided by Waleed Fighali. Ending song, Steampunk Girl, provided by John Emilio at johnemilio.com. And blast the cure and the snips. It's a flask to her lips. Takes exit 22 and pulls in her parking space. Climbs up the fire escape. Steps into a bedroom and crashes onto a bed. Brings stockings from her leggings. She looks in the mirror and thinks that it's time to start another life. So she's putting on her goggles and a bullet hat. She checks it.
a rocket back. She places purple boots and puts her makeup on. She grabs her leather coat and a Tesla gun. But she used to be a goblin, now she's a steampunk. Gaslight imagines taking a trip on a steam-powered chicken. Instead, she opts a flight to a sci-fi convention. Now it's her intention to finish her novel, then go back to school and learn to live again. So she's putting on her goggles and a bowler hat. She checks her pocket watch, just a rocket back. She laces purple boots and puts her makeup on. She grabs her leather coat and a Tesla gun. But she used to be a goblin, now she's a steampunk.
Now she's a steampunk. She used to be a goblin, now she's a steampunk.